Nick D'Alessandro joins you. Welcome to you, Nick.
Very good afternoon,
Glenn. Got a little bit of an issue with the news, so we might go, straight to you.
That's right. We'll sort that out. Nice. Lovely to be here. Nice day out here, isn't it? The Meadows?
Absolutely.
I think this is the second time I've been past this venue. I was part of a Bucks party going back quite a while.
And so you don't remember it,
I think
it,
we
you?
Came past here.
Right. In a bus?
I think we're on a bus, yep. And then we jumped off for a feed and had a quick look. And I've just watched the last race. I'm not sure exactly what number it was, but yep. This is the first time I can remember watching dogs run around a track live.
1300. Well, see, I grew up too close to Angle Park.
Yes.
Port Adelaide, Alberton's close to Angle Park,
yes.
So we actually dropped in there quite often. 1300 736 736 is the number if you'd like to join us. 1300 736 736. Nick D'Alessandro and I here at the Meadows. We'll take a few of your calls and read out a few of your speckled texts as well. 1300 736 736. We just have to get the phones up and running, and we'll get the news up and running as well. You've already had a win today, I understand.
Here. Yeah, I did. A small win. But for me, it's probably as substantial and as important as it can be. As I walked in, and this is a little pat on the back to me, I noticed, I thought you were struggling. You just looked a little bit flat. So as I walked in, I whispered to you, coffee, and you instantly nodded, meaning, yep, give me one of the big ones, and we're going to get through the afternoon together. And as I went in, and the lovely people inside, there is a few people here to watch.
Yep.
Just this goes on every Wednesday out here at the Meadows.
It does.
Just for those that are wondering, this is a weekly event. And I went inside, grabbed a couple of the large coffees, cappuccinos, and the lovely lady behind the counter, I just got talking to, and I said, and I'm going to have to sneak one of those potato cakes. Just keep it quiet, just between you and I. Mm. We will be needing a potato cake on my way out with the coffee. And she just slipped it under the counter to me as well. She said, this one is on us. Lovely
really?
To have you and Dwayne here.
Oh, wow. So she knew
not enough to give you one, though, unfortunately.
No,
just
obviously not.
One with a little bit of chicken salt. So I've had a fantastic start to the day.
Not just a free one, but with chicken salt.
Chicken salt.
To go with it.
Chicken salt. So she must know me because that is an essential part of my fish and chip order.
You've been cruising in, listening to the program on your way in. Now, what did you make of the – who should be the next man in – for the Victorian team up against the All-Stars, if there's anybody else that pulls out with injury? We've seen that Ben Cunnington had to withdraw, so Andrew Gaff came in to replace him. We've seen Travis Boak come in and replace Robbie Gray. Had a few on the speckled text and a few phone calls about whether Gary Ablett is the right guy or not the right guy, whether he deserves to be next guy in. He was top 40, according to the AFL, last year because he was in the All-Australian squad of 40. Even though he missed the All-Australian squad, he finished, 25th odd in the Brownlow medal. So, according to the umpires,
he's rated
25th best player in the comp. 1300 736 736. You can join us in this conversation for Werribee Kia, Australia's number one selling Kia dealer. 1300 736 736 or 0433 98 11 16 is the speckled text. Speckled cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. Your thoughts?
I listened on my way in, and it was a intriguing conversation, and we had a little bit of a light-hearted conversation last week about superstars. And there's been a bit of feedback, and everyone's got a different definition of exactly what that looks like. But I had Gary Ablett Jr. is one of the only, I think I had five off the top of my head as I go back through my notes, five superstars currently in the competition playing. Now, the reason I had him in that superstar conversation, or as a lock in my opinion, is that once you've been a superstar and arguably one of the greatest players of all time, or absolutely is one of the greatest players of all time, you are always a superstar. Now, you said, you put your hand up and said, I use that term superstar far too much, and that's okay. You be who you want to be,
right.
Dwayne, and we enjoy that part of your commentary, and I do. I love that. But I would have loved to have seen, say, two positions for the Victorians and the All-Stars go to these players that have been the greatest of servants for our game. So I think Gary Ablett should have been in it, not have to find a place because of other people pulling out through soreness or injury.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to have seen Gary Ablett Jr., and Sean Burgoyne represent the All-Stars. I just think they deserve that in their career. And I know that they were a part of it in 2008, the last time this style of game went on. But the argument for Gary Ablett actually has weight just on his pure merit and his performance last year. But this is a conversation about Gary Ablett, Dwayne, that's been going for a couple of years ago. For a couple of years now, about he's not what he used to be. Gary Ablett, going back a few years, was the best player in the competition. So, yes, I do agree with you that he is no longer the best player in the competition. In my opinion, up until the midway break last year, I had him in the All-Australian team. I had Travis Boak. I would have, if that was the halfway mark last year, Travis Boak and Gary Ablett Jr. were warranted a position in the All-Australian team as it finished. All the numbers show that Gary Ablett still had an outstanding year. for the position that he played. Now, his numbers aren't 40 and 4 like they were, it felt like, every single week at the Gold Coast and then going back before that, his first stint at Geelong. But he still warrants some sort of credit. And I think players like him need to be judged on what he's currently doing, not against what he used to be, because we understand that he's not what he used to be. He was voted or picked in the squad of the best 40 players in the country, didn't ultimately make the best 22, so he sits just outside that. And Sean Burgoyne, in my opinion, I think in everybody's opinion, is just a great of the game, a great person,
well, by games,
a brilliant servant.
By games played,
yes.
Sean Burgoyne is the seventh greatest player to have ever played the game. So with 376 games,
yep.
And we talked to Boomer Harvey a little bit earlier on, but he is the seventh greatest player for games played of all time.
That holds something. Oh, I'm going to throw one to you and just to get your take on where this sits. If Luke Hodge was still playing and performed the way that he did last year,
yep.
Would Luke Hodge deserve a position in the Victorian team?
If he was still playing, but 1-300-736-736, should there have been a couple of spots reserved for all-time greats who are not necessarily in the best anymore? So I would suggest a spot for Eddie Betts.
Oh, yes.
Because he's been an all-time great.
What about another teammate of Eddie Betts that has been a superb servant for the Blues, a halfback flanker?
Cade Simpson.
Yeah.
Nice. Take a few of your calls, 1-300-736-736, and a few of your speckled text. Nick Dowsatter is with me live at the Meadows. 0433981116 is the number. Nick Dowsatter here for Pope's Auto Wind Hose Reel. Smoother, safer, better. We'll take a big quick break and come back to your calls next. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. 1-300-736-736 is the number, and we'll read out a few of your speckled texts as well very shortly. Got a few technical issues, but keep them coming through and we'll receive them shortly. 0433 98 11 16. On the speckled text, speckled cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. And the open line thanks to Werribee Kia, Australia's number one selling Kia dealer. They've got a heap of sportages down there. I was talking to Janan the other day. If you want a sportage, they've got some great deals at the moment. And if you want a Seltos with a 7-year warranty, they've got a few as well on the floor you can look at. Nick Dowsatter is with me.
Pronounced sportage.
Sportage, yes.
Is that what nationality would sportage be opposed to sport age?
Well, no, I'm thinking of Louis Sauvage okay. And the sportage.
Yeah, okay.
I always try
you
to
pronounce
put a,
it beautifully.
Well,
I love it.
Putting a sporting bent on it, perhaps.
Good,
maybe
good.
Maybe it is a sportage. The Kia sport age.
It doesn't sound right, does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't. Hey, you do like a bit of American sport. What
I
did
do.
You make of the fight?
Interesting. A great build-up. And yep. I don't know a great deal about the technical aspect yep. of the game, but I get caught up in more of the build-up, I think, and watching the docos leading in to the big fight. But my most entertaining part has probably been the fallout poster with Deontay Wilder's explanation about why he could have possibly lost, or maybe yep. an explanation about a few things that didn't go his way. Now, that entrance outfit was extreme and over the top,
yep.
but that's what boxing is, and we know UFC does it as well, and WWE invented it probably going back decades and decades ago.
Yep.
But I do find it amusing sitting here now, watching all the pre-fight hype, the documentaries. We've got this guy, Tyson Fury, does what he does, and Wilder's this extreme on the other end. But then the fallout is he loses and has his first loss, and he speaks about the referees, his trainers. But my most favourite part now is the costume that he wore into the ring was so heavy, and it was 40-odd pounds, I think is
yeah.
what they were talking. It fatigued his legs
well,
and therefore didn't have the spring in the step.
Did
plane.
You see the lead-in?
Yeah.
Well, you've got Tyson Fury being chaired in
yep.
on as the king, so he did not have to take a step on the way to the ring.
Yep.
He got chaired in over the course of a couple of minutes. And yet you've got Deontay Wilder being ridiculously stupid in the end, I suppose, because
it's
he
backfired.
Wore this giant suit
yeah.
that wore a ton. He obviously didn't think about that pre-fight.
Did he try? Do you think it would have been
He's got a rap singer that takes 3 minutes to sing the song. He's taking 3.5 minutes to walk to the ring in a giant suit of armour that weighs too much.
Yes.
And then he's got to fight. Didn't he think that through? The biggest fight in his life.
Yeah.
His whole world is on the line.
Mm.
And he decides that that's the way to go?
I find it very amusing, not morally amusing right now, that a man of their size, or men of their size,
yeah.
on both sides of the ring, in both corners, that this is the fallout, that we're now speaking about the costume that you wore into a heavyweight bout. And he ultimately goes on to lose the WBC heavyweight title. It's gone. Now, he might have another chance, and this is where it all leads on. And I was very skeptical when I saw the result. And, you know, you've got to question the scorecards and exactly
why.
No,
it was down there. I watched the whole fight.
I questioned I saw the ending.
Never.
Do they have a trilogy? Are they coming back again, Dwayne?
He had him cooked right from the start. He put on 30 pounds. He attacked him. He said from the start, I'm going to put on 30 pounds and I'm going to attack this guy. Mm. He made the mistake in the first fight. He attacked him from the go-get, and he had no answer whatsoever, Dante. Wilder was always going to be cooked.
Fury, I've also read in the last 24 hours, Fury has drank 15 pints of water to make himself look sloppy to give the perception that he's not fight fit.
Well,
what are we coming to, Dwayne? We're now speaking about tricking your opponent with how much fluid you've taken on board. And now the explanation post the loss is my costume was too heavy. Men that weigh in the low to mid-hundreds.
They'll fight again. There'll be a third fight, obviously.
Of course they will.
Hey, speaking of American stories, I hope you saw the story, and I mentioned it yesterday. Madison Bumgarner is a multi-millionaire. He's a millionaire baseballer.
Yep.
And we talk about AFL players just having recreational pursuits that might be detrimental to their job as a footballer. Ollie Wines obviously going water skiing, etc.
Basketball.
You know, playing basketball. Well, you're not allowed to play basketball if Patrick Mahomes has in his contract a no basketball clause. So he's not allowed.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Specifically no basketball.
Yeah, well, amongst other things. No skiing, no water skiing, no
extreme sports.
Exactly.
And basketball.
Well, Madison Bumgarner, who is a superstar in the world of baseball.
Yeah.
He's been riding rodeo under the alias of Mason Saunders for the last 2 years.
Is that right?
So he kept that from his team and he's been...
Well, he can't be that recognisable or that big
on
if
a horseback.
He can rock up on a rodeo.
No, well, actually, he got caught. So he got caught
after
in
a... 2 years.
A publicity photo, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, which is hilarious. And the other story that tickled my fancy this week, did you see the story about Dave Ayres, who is he's the Zamboni driver for one team in the NHL, and they were the two goalies they had on reserve couldn't play.
Yep.
So he got called up from the grandstand after driving the Zamboni to clean the ice.
Yes.
And he kept goal in the NHL. He got the big call up and he did a brilliant job and he's now a hero.
There you go.
What about that?
Has been going on. We had Phil in last
That's
year that played basketball. So it's gone global, this particular part of it. I hate that we ever get to this stage, but we have spoken about Ollie Wines in the last 12 months, but more than that, recreational activities. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if contracts get to the point for AFL players that if there's exclusions or things that you can't do, or you get injured and can't fulfill your role and responsibility as an AFL footballer to either train or play because of injury through these other areas, that there's deductions of pay. And whether it's stagnated for the severity of the injury, the longevity of the injury, that therefore, if you're on $1 million and you're missing weeks of sport because of something outside of your job, then it just starts to come off the bottom line. You just start working your way down. That'll slow players down.
I've been told the phones are now working. So 1-300-736-736. If you'd like to join Nick D'Alsanto and myself for a chat, 1-300-736-736. Or if you're on the Speckle text, 0433-98-1116. Speckle cash loans up to $2,000. Paid fast and the open line thanks to Werribee Kia, Australia's number one selling Kia dealer. Talking about who should be next man in and whether there should be a spot for some of the all-time greats of the game in the Vic V All-Stars Game 4. Given that it is a bushfire relief game, it is for charity, it is about the entertainment factor and raising money as opposed to, you know, playing for sheep stations, whether Cade Simpson should be given a jumper, Sean Burgoyne, Gary Ablett Jr., Eddie Betts should be given a jumper because of their greatness and longevity in the game as one of the greats. And, you know, there's a couple of other guys. I mean, Nathan Jones, Melbourne fans might think he's deserved of a spot. You know, he's close to playing his 300th game as well. So there's a few in that realm. 1-300-736-736 is the number. 1-300-736-736 or the speckled text 0433-98-1116. We're live at the Meadows in the build-up to Greyhound Racing's Australia Cup final at the Meadows this Saturday. Something else that caught your eye as well was the jersey sales.
Yeah.
Now, Ben Simmons, you're telling me, wasn't the number one NBA jersey sale in Australia.
Yeah, so it's specific to Australia, and they've got data to back all this stuff up. So, no, Ben Simmons is number two. But number one's not surprising when you break it down. He's also changed clubs in the last 2 years. So, for the last 2 years, mm-hmm. the number one jersey sold in Australia would be?
LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Yep.
Yeah. So, he's taken the top spot again. Ben Simmons is number two. Jason Tatum from the Boston Celtics is number three. A touch surprising, but Boston being such a big club around the world, it can sort of explain it. Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
Going to the Brooklyn Nets was number four. The Greek freak, Giannis, was number five.
Oh, it has to be up there, yeah.
Anthony Davis, so another Los Angeles Lakers player, is number six. Kawhi Leonard, LA Clippers player, number seven. Steph Curry, who hasn't played for the majority of this year, number eight. And then number nine was a draw, so nine and ten. Kyle Kuzma, for the first time, is in the top 10 sales. So another, so that's the third Los Angeles Laker. And Luka Doncic from the Dallas Mavericks, so the young superstar.
The Lakers are a popular team.
They're the number one team in the world.
So, you know, if you go to America and you want to buy yourself a singlet, quite often you end up with a LA Lakers singlet as your souvenir.
So I want to put this to you and also the family, Duane, and give us a call or text in on the Speckle text. If you were walking into a Rebel Sport or a sports store and you were from overseas or you're a neutral football or sports lover,
yep.
who are you gravitating towards? What jersey, jumper, T-shirt, if you're a Geelong
yep.
Geelong supporter.
Yeah.
Where are you going and what number are you putting on the back if you have a neutral stance to start with?
And there is one of my pet hates, and I do hate this.
What is it?
I've been saying it for 20 years. If we had names on the back of jumpers, you'd see Martin 4. So you'd know, oh, there's Dustin Martin's jersey. But if you're from overseas and you see a 4 and you're not, you might not be sure, that's Dustin Martin's number. So if you want Martin's number,
yep.
you know it's if it's Ablett's number, you know it's Ablett's number or Dangerfield's number or Franklin's number. We should have the names on the back, at least for jersey sales, for our jumper sales. In Epping, Cookie, welcome to you, Cookie.
How we going, fellas? I just, off the top, I am a Geelong supporter and I love the concept of the game Friday night and I am going. Wanted to say, has anyone thought of with the Gary Ablett scenario that he might not have been put up? They had to put up so many players, and as much as I'm a Geelong supporter, I'd love to see him play in the game. I don't want to see him get injured, and he has had hamstring troubles and injuries last season. So, yeah, they might not have put him up. That could be why he's not being put in.
Well, I was told he was available. So, if Damien Harbick wanted to pick him, he was available to be picked.
What do you do? Yeah, thanks for the call, Cookie. It's a good point, but from what Duane O's telling us, he was fit and available. Now, he played, was that Saturday night? They're up at Metricon Stadium, played against.
So he played in that game.
Yeah, he
so
played in that game
fit.
And went through the motions a little bit, let's be honest.
What?
Let's be honest. When was the last time you saw Gaz have eight disposals and play like that? That was a warm up game for Gaz.
He might as well have just run laps.
Yeah.
I mean, he was out there for the game time, wasn't he?
Yeah, but you just got to tick it off. But players are in different situations. Yep. That would be devastating. And this sort of counteracts our conversation and our thought that someone like Gaz should be out there. That would be almost the worst case scenario for anyone to get injured. Someone of Gary's ilk or someone like a Sean Burgoyne, who we've referenced for the All-Australian team, that they actually missed their last year of football. And it takes away from us as footy lovers to get to watch them for 12 more months. So, yeah, they're hypotheticals whether they get injured or not. But I still believe there should have been a spot prior to us getting to this point. But if there is any more withdrawals in the next couple of days, one G Ablett should be front and centre to come straight in.
And whose jumper are you buying, or whose jumper would you suggest somebody from overseas takes home if they walked into a Rebel Sport looking for an AFL jumper to take home? Who would be our number one for sales in this country, do you think?
Ooh. Well, if you tried to neutralise it so there wasn't different amount of supporters, so if you're looking at someone like Richmond and Collingwood, they've clearly got a lot more supporters than some of the smaller clubs. So say they're all the same number. Say they're all 100,000 supporters for every single club. I still think you're getting drawn to Dusty Martin. I think Bontempelli, and I'm trying to picture the colours as well. So if you're picking a jumper,
that would look good on the back.
And if you're picking a coloured jumper and you have no idea about the history and you know the reputation of these players, you also want the jumper to look really good.
Hmm.
And I look at the Tigers, and it's a powerful colour. And I know it's got the yellow sash.
The traditional Dogs jumper is a good jumper.
Fantastic jumper.
And Bontempelli kind of looks like Antetokounmpo. I mean, it's got that. Yes. It just looks good.
Yes. I reckon if you spoke to a couple of people when you came here and say you came here from overseas and you had a couple of friends, I still think it'd be worth getting a Buddy Franklin jumper. Yep. I still think the 23 on the back of a nice red jumper with the opera house in the middle of it in white worth going out of your way. I'm not sure if you'd be appealing towards the Hawthorn colours.
Oh, so Hawthorn's jumper's a dud, according to Nick DelSanto.
You know which jumper I did love from the Hawks? When they wore that silver one. I think they played over in the West. I was about the only person, hey, I don't mind this variation.
So if you're buying a jumper for looks, you'd buy what? The Richmond jumper.
Ah, yeah, I like that.
Well, because the hoops aren't flattering? Is that why Geelong?
They're not slimming.
No.
They're not slimming.
But at least it's unique.
Well, that's your bite. Now I feel like you're trying to corral me towards a Dangerfield or a Selwood.
No, I'm more thinking of the hoops being a unique brand. So the beauty of Geelong's jumper to me and the beauty of Collingwood's jumper is that as soon as you see it, you know who it is.
Yeah, of course.
We've got a few teams whose jumper you might not necessarily know who they
are. Straight away.
Yeah. So with Geelong's T-shirt on the weekend, you're not buying that.
No, I'm not. No.
And you might buy the hoop jumper, but you ain't buying the T-shirt.
I'm not buying a warm-up top. Sorry, Dwayne, if I'm going to an AFL game.
That's good. Did you buy that performance by Geelong at all?
No, I said it on Monday. Take it for what it's worth. And I know Geelong were nowhere near their best and obviously had their own agenda to get through the game. But it was the best team performance I've seen from the Suns ever.
Texts are coming through. Gavin in Sunbury saying Kate Simpson definitely should be given a jumper.
Yes, agreed.
Just through his greatness overall as a player. And given the tenor of this game, it isn't for sheep stations. It's for charity and to raise as much money as we can for those that were impacted by the bushfires and to celebrate the game. Then it would be nice synchronicity for Kate Simpson, Gary Ablett Jr., Sean Burgoyne, and maybe Eddie Betts to all be given a jumper. Gavin in Sunbury's on the line. Welcome to you, Gavin.
G'day, guys. How you going? All right?
Good, thanks.
Good, thanks, Gav.
Just talking about all these players are all champions, that they got to pick in this side. Correct?
Yes. Yes, correct.
I don't think Cade Simpson is a champion. He kicks with one foot, and that's his left foot. Other players can play both sides of their body. I don't see him as a champion. There's a lot more other players out there that are a lot better than Cade Simpson that can kick both sides of their feet.
Gav, I don't want to put you on the spot. Give me another player that kicks on both sides of their feet consistently outside of Steel side bottom and maybe one other in the competition.
Oh, well, I was going to say Nicky Dell, but he's retired now.
No, I only had one left foot. If I was ever caught on the right, it was a handball. There's not many players. So he's left footed. His left foot is an absolute delight. You'd hate to take away anything from Cade Simpson. And yeah, he's probably not in the best 25 from Victoria or the best 25 from an all-star perspective. But I still think in our conversation with Dwayne is this is a celebration game. As much as it is for charity, and there's actually a distinct purpose for the game as well. This is a celebration game to see our greats of the game that have been great servants for 10, 15, Gary Ablett, I think he's coming up to season number 19. I think I would love, and Dwayne and I are working the game on Friday night, you'll hear us on this station, I want to see these guys still get the opportunity to wear their respective jumpers one last time and be a part of this memorable occasion. I think that's really special, and I think those guys should be given the opportunity.
Are you a Carlton man, Gavin, did you say?
I know what you're saying there, but there's still probably another 50 players that deserve it just as much, or if not more, than Cade.
Well, hopefully those guys get another opportunity, because hopefully this game is a little bit more frequent than once every 12 years.
Did you say you're a Carlton fan or not, Gavin?
No, I'm not. I'm just a fan.
So, for those that don't know, Cade Simpson this year will pass John Nicholls on the all-time games list at Carlton.
So that's that'll be the most ever?
He'll be the third greatest Carlton player by games played behind Craig Bradley, Bruce Dool, and then it'll be Cade Simpson on the list, followed by John Nicholls, Steve Silvani, Justin Madden, Cooter. Mark Murphy is top 10 right now on Carlton's all-time.
Out of curiosity, what did he finish on number-wise?
375.
And who was second after him? Dooley?
Bruce Dool, yes. 356.
Okay, and then what does that make Cade Simpson? What's he currently sitting on?
325.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of
football. Nicholls, 328. Cade Simpson, 325. So
how many more seasons Cade Simpson got left in him?
Well, not enough to pass Brattles, I wouldn't think.
You don't reckon he's got three?
And maybe, he's got one left, so he won't pass Bruce Dool either, perhaps. But there might be some synchronicity in that, because Carlton fans would probably say that Bruce Dool is their icon and they don't want him passed. 1300 736 736. Every caller between now and the end of the program gets a double pass to come to the Meadows on Saturday night to the Australia Cup final this Saturday. We're live at the Meadows in the build-up to Greyhound Racing's Australia Cup final on Saturday night. So every caller between now and goodbye time when we hand over to Bob and Andy gets a double pass to the Australia Cup. John in Greensboro, we'll come to you after the break. Take a quick break for news and straight to you, John. 1-300-736-736. Nick D'Alsano with me. We're taking your calls. 1-300-736-736 on the open line. Thanks to Werribee Kia. John in Greensboro, welcome to you, John.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Look, just straight off the cup, I'm a Collingwood supporter, but Cade Simpson, I reckon, is probably the most underrated player in the competition. And in relation to what your previous caller said about his about not being able to use his other foot, there was arguably the greatest ever footballer, Diego Maradona, who only used his right foot to stand on. So, you know, that's a whole lot of rubbish. So, yeah, I reckon Cade Simpson is a great, but it's just unfortunate he plays for an ordinary club. Had to give you guys an uppercut, sorry.
Nice one, John. A double pass coming away to the Australia Cup here at the Meadows on Saturday night. Yeah, he's in the top 30 players all-time history of the game, games-wise, Cade Simpson, and he's about to become the third greatest Carlton player ever by games played behind Craig Bradley and Bruce Dool when he jumps John Nicholls in round four. Thanks for your call. Brett in South Morang. Welcome to you, Brett.
G'day, guys. Look, I'm not sure exactly when this year, but unfortunately, Cade Simpson will have the unfortunate distinction of being played in the most losing games ever by a single player in the whole 122 years of the AFL.
Do you know what that roughly is, Brett? Do you know how many that roughly is?
No, I don't know, but it's quite a few. No one has met our four Blues have been the last 2 decades.
He's currently on 325 games.
Really?
So I'm not sure.
No. But what's his losing?
Oh, I'll have to check that.
Yeah.
I might be able to find that. If you give me a moment, I might be able to track that down, that exact number.
So that's a fact. Is it he's about to have played in
the most losing games ever?
Only if they lose one this year.
Do you think they're going to lose a game?
Well, I'm just saying.
That was great optimism. I'll pay that.
Optimistic Carlton fans out there believe they might go through the season undefeated. He might not get that record.
All right. He might miss those particular games then.
1-300-736-736. Because, I mean, the Saints, Robert Harvey played 383.
Yes.
But the Saints had some good purple patches in
later
that period
in his
of time.
Career, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm just trying to think of a couple of other players that played in teams that have been down the bottom for a while. Do Fitzroy players count, perhaps? Because there would have been a few that played Fitzroy.
I've got here it is, Dwayne. I've got the numbers for you.
Oh, good work.
Cade Simpson has played 325 games, 117 victories.
Okay.
3 draws, and wait for it, 205 losses.
And who's next best?
That's at a 36.5% win-loss ratio. So that's not great, is it?
Who's next best, or should I say next worst
You're challenging me now. I'll have to go through the numbers. That was just specifically for Cade Simpson. So 205 lost games and 117 wins.
Okay, 1-300-736-736 is the number. Nick D'Alsano is with me. And we'll take a few more of your calls after a quick break. Got a heap of other things to get to as well with Nick D'Alsano live here at the Meadows. Every caller between now and handing over to Bob and Andy get a free double pass to come to the Meadows here on Saturday night. You're with Dwayne's World. And Nick D'Alsano is with me. We're live at the Meadows. Every caller between now and handing over to Bob and Andy get a free double pass to the Australian Cup on Saturday night. Nathan and Craigie Boom are coming to you. Quite a few coming through on the speckle text. Surely Nathan Jones is up there, boys, when it comes to most games played in that are losses. Michael from Plenty. Kevin Murray, 333 games. Fitzroy, he would have had to have played in quite a few losses. Kevin Bulldog Murray. Have a look at Cade Simpson's photo with the 300 club from the Blues. It's brilliant. An underrated champion. Just on Nathan Jones, I was talking about Cade Simpson being one of the all-time greats and about to pass John Nicholls and will be third on the all-time games played list. At Carlton. Nathan Jones, if he plays 21 games this year, will become the greatest game player of all time.
Is that right? And who does
Melbourne
he pass? Who's at the top
so
there?
David Neates currently has 306.
Yes.
Nathan Jones, 286. So if Nathan Jones plays 21 this year, he will be the greatest game player of all time at the Melbourne Footy Club. And, you know, there's some superstars on that list. And they've been, they're the equal oldest club in the competition. So you'd think they would have more 300 game players than just
one. Jim Stein's around the mark, because didn't he play an enormous amount of consecutive games in a row?
264 all up for Jim Stein's. But it is remarkable, really, that they don't have more than one 300 game player
just
already.
Just to respond to that Nathan Jones win-loss ratio, and it's not like we're trying to celebrate losses, but it is off the back of that previous call saying Cade Simpson will have the most ever. So Nathan Jones has played 286 games, 88 wins. Jeez, 88 wins, 3 draws and 195 losses at a percentage of 31.3.
Had a caller earlier on saying that Maradona only used his opposite foot for balance. There's
a
text saying, yeah, don't forget Maradona used his hand and leg.
Yes.
Carlton jumper would be bought by overseas people coming here because it's so different and unique to other sports jerseys, and it looks great. Yeah, I agree with that. It is an iconic jumper, and that's the beauty of continuing to have those iconic jumpers that are instantly recognisable, regardless of what way you wear it, whether it's an away jumper as a Carlton jumper or a home jumper. That's why the grey thing, to me, didn't really work. I didn't like the grey
one. What's your favourite jumper? Take any bias out of it. Which jumper do you look at and think, that just looks like a really good jumper?
I don't mind the Essendon and Richmond sash.
Yeah.
I think the sash is fantastic.
It's got some strength about
it. It just looks AFL-ish to me. Not many other sports have the sash.
Imagine someone coming over and staying at your house for a weekend. So I'm going to take you to the football, and I want you to look AFL-ish.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you mean by that, Dwayne?
Well, there's a lot of other clubs that have black and white stripes. Newcastle.
Yes.
There's a lot of other clubs around the world, sport-wise, that have the black and white vertical stripes. QPR have the blue and white hoops like Geelong.
Yep.
So there are other. But the sash, pretty unique that we've got the sash. There's not many other sports that go
only
with
other
the sash.
That and beauty pageants.
Lockie Whitfield, brilliant on both sides of the body. Jaden Short, brilliant on both sides of the body as well. Mart and Nathan in Craigieburn, welcome to you, Nathan.
Yeah, welcome, guys. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Nathan.
How are you, guys?
Good. What do you want to talk about today?
I heard Nick D'Alessandro is signing a new contract to play for the Saints.
First I've heard of that one.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Never heard of that one.
1-300-736-736 if you'd like to join Nick Dowsana. You know that call got Nathan in Craigieburn a free double pass?
Is that all he had to do?
Well, I said that every caller between now and the end of the show gets a free double pass.
Did he have a serious question?
I'm not sure he had anything to add whatsoever other than the opportunity to get a free double pass. 1-300-736-736. Nick D'Alessandro is with me. We're live at the Meadows. We'll go back to your calls, especially some serious ones, straight after the break. You're with Dwayne's World. And Nick D'Alessandro with me. Let's go back to your calls as promised. Shane in Rover. Welcome to you, Shane.
Yeah, gentlemen, thanks for taking the call. This is a real bugbear of mine, and I don't like this team. I preface to say that. But whoever thinks that Geelong wearing a T-shirt during a footy game in the Marsh or whenever time thinks looks good needs their head read. It looks horrendous. I'm sure the players hate playing in it. It's shocking.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it so much if it was a blue and white hooped T-shirt, because the hoops is the brand. Why do you go away from your brand?
So you don't mind the T-shirt, though, to start with?
No,
you
it doesn't bother me. The T-shirt part doesn't bother
me. Is it a sales pitch? Is that the whole idea behind it, that you're a Geelong supporter, you've got to go out of your way and go buy something else?
I know, but why not just tinker with the size of the hoops?
I hate it. I'm with you.
Adjust the,
Shane, I'm with you.
The width
and
of the hoop.
Going back to the days, particularly when it was hot, particularly when it's humid, the last thing you want is extra clothing on. Sleeves can go for mine. The uniqueness about our game, and I know a few players wear long sleeve tops. It's a jumper. It's a singlet style top. And I think I couldn't imagine many of the players. They won't say it publicly because I have to endorse what they're wearing to be part of the club. But I would have thought all of them would have hated wearing a T-shirt last weekend.
Very un-AFL. Tom in Williamstown. Hello, Tom.
Dwayne, Nick, how are you, boys?
Good, thanks.
Good, Tom.
Just a quick couple of points. I heard that Bull Trout yesterday ring up. I'm an Essendon supporter, mate, and we are sick to death of hearing these Richmond idiots pump their team up like they're a juggernaut. They've had two good final series. Their captain was kicking into the wind 4 years ago.
Just
need a reality check.
There's still two more good final series than many teams have had, Tom.
Yeah, but I'm over it, mate. They're not a juggernaut. Hawthorn, Geelong, they were juggernauts, mate. You know what I mean? They did it for 10 years straight. Essendon, you know, they played 10 years finals. These Muppets, they've played 3 years and they think they're flying.
Tom.
So can I,
Tom, what
can
do we do if they get there again and do it again at the end of this year? When do we accept their comments? It's hard to rebut it, though.
I'll just choke again, and an American will get best on ground, mate. They're very average. And their captain was kicking into the wind 4 years ago. They lost to nine.
Yeah, he's become pretty good, that captain, though, I've got to say. Now, I'm told that Eddie Betts has been put into the All-Stars team.
Oh, does that mean there's another injury?
There must be. So,
oh, okay. I was going to say that to you before. Surely there's no more inclusions and exclusions from the team. Surely it's set by Wednesday afternoon.
I'll check that out. But, yeah, he would be a great inclusion. And as one of the greats of all time, it would have some synchronicity to it because we've been talking about it as well, having those players honoured that have been great servants of the game because of the tenor of this game. Hey, before you go, what did you make of the Melbourne announcement with Max Gawn?
Yeah, a little bit surprising, to be completely honest. I didn't see that coming. I covered their game on the weekend. I think we've got to be fair because you and I spoke about Zach Merritt going back, it'd be probably a month ago when their leadership group got announced and he was excluded from it or had been moved into just a traditional playing role and was out of a leadership role. The Jack Viney one, I think, and when I heard Gaz and Tim speaking about this the other morning, and Gaz knows that club better clearly than we do, if you know Jack Viney, you know that everything's going to be fine. He's not going to hold it against him, and his performance isn't going to be anything different. And watching him closely on the weekend, covering the game, you would have never known anything. And at that stage, they would have internally known what the announcement was going to be. I think the Max announcement is great. Whatever he is doing is clearly being recognised by the club. He speaks so well publicly. We enjoy talking to him. But I feel like the conversation around Melbourne, and I know it's the summer and they haven't won or lost a game, a real game of footy, an in-season game, but I feel like it's already changed, this dialogue about the way we're speaking about him. And I'm going to highlight a few dot points why. The strategic plans, they've put it out there about this strategic plan. They've put out the documentary to Hell and Back, which opens them up and exposes them and shows their vulnerabilities and who they are. Taking on Harley Bennell, so that signing, I think, and I like Harley Bennell, I'll put my hand up that I think it's a worthwhile risk if you're going to go down that sort of path and think that it is a risk. I think it's definitely worth taking. The Petrarca signing off the back of the weekend, now that conversation would have been going for a long time. It's not just the fact that he had a fantastic game on the weekend then all of a sudden gets a new extension. And now a new captain. So it's so easy to change the perception and the conversation around them. My question is, does that translate to on-field? Because if round one happens like it did last year when they played Port and got touched up at the MCG off all that expectation from the previous year, then all this goes to waste. So the way that we feel about Melbourne now, when we're talking about, you know, blue sky and a new start and, you know, a new captain and all these good things that they're showing us, and I love that. I actually love what they've done over the last couple of weeks. But if it doesn't translate to on-field, then this absolutely means nothing.
It's going to be a lot of wins between the five they had last year and the 12 or 13 that they need to make the finals, though. It's a fairly big expectation to expect Melbourne to get seven or eight more wins than last year, isn't it?
I think they're just going to miss out on finals. Like, when you try and break down the categories, I think they're just outside that next finals, the final sort of group.
But is that their parameter for break even, is it? Make the finals?
I don't think
that's
they will.
That's their par score?
Is that par? Are they at the stage where, from where they've been last year to the year before, that if you make finals that you get a ticket?
That's what I'm
on?
Asking. Do you measure this year against last year or the year before?
I think you need to start clean. I think if you're starting at 17th, and Max Gawn referenced that when I spoke to him on the weekend, we are currently in 17th, he said. If you're talking about baby steps and working your way back up to win a flag in the next 4 years, I think their strategic plan stated, then it needs to be around 9, 10, sneaking into 8th. I think that is the stepping stone. Then you can move the following year up into winning finals and then ultimately push for a 2 or 3 year period to get one over the line.
I'd say for Melbourne, to me, is the same as pretty much a lot of clubs. I reckon you do have to make the finals as your break-even parameter. I don't think people in these days accept 9th, 10th, 11th success.
Unless you're a team, what about if you're Carlton? Would you accept 9 and 10 if you're Carlton?
I still wouldn't like to accept it.
No, okay, that's a bad word. Not accept it, but see it as a step forward and a move up the ladder.
Yeah, trajectory-wise, I think it would be great for St Kilda and for Carlton to, you know, to accept it.
Yeah.
Perhaps, but as a fan, I still think I want my team to make the 8.
Yeah, of course.
In the old days, I suppose you thought, draft picks and all that kind of stuff. I hope Not many people are thinking that way anymore, and I'm sure most aren't. No one wants their team to drop out. We talked about this yesterday about who wants to drop out and finish last and have this, you know, 3 years down the bottom to get draft picks idea. Hey, it's been confirmed Eddie Betts into the All-Stars lineup. Dane Zorko has been withdrawn, according to the AFL website. So Dane Zorko is out, and the great Eddie Betts is in.
Well, you asked for it, and you got it. As simple as that. So Dane Zorko's out and also had to give up a little bit of money from the weekend's performance.
Mark, series before you go, are you happy with it?
I'm enjoying it. I think it's fantastic that we're seeing relatively the best teams put out on the park. My question to you, and this is my only little bit about it. Now, they've only got two games across the period of 3 or so weeks. It's not enough. And the reason that it's not enough is clubs are now organising private games with other clubs, and they're also having extended intra-club matches. So we sit here and think, well, they only need two games to get ready. The clubs are clearly telling us, and the evidence is, no, it's not enough. They're needing 4, 5 to make sure that they are match fit, ready for round one. Mm. So looking at the Marsh Cup, do we need to see more? You know, should it be a three-week? Does it need to be 4 and actually go back to some sort of structure? Because they're all doing it privately anyway. Collingwood and Carlton had a Friday night game, I believe it was last week. They played 6 quarters.
Yep.
So it just contradicts for me about 2 games isn't enough in the Marsh series, because otherwise you've got to go track them down to their own private venues.
Great to have you in, Dal. Bob and Andy are coming up next. They've got the Richmond 2021 recruit, Darcy Moore, on the program. Gilbert McAdam also joining them. Joining me tomorrow on this program, Andrew Gaze, and we'll talk Olympics, what might happen for Tokyo, the coronavirus, and also money for medals with Dave Colbert. He's got to join me in the studio as well, and plenty of your calls tomorrow. But stick around, Darcy Moore and Gilbert McAdam joining Bob and Andy next.